Well, I'd like to thank everyone for coming today. You know, one of the things that when you have a chance to preach that you worry about is nobody's going to show up. In fact, I had that dream. I had the dream that the church service was starting and the worship service was going and the church was full. And when I got up to preach, everyone got up, started walking out the doors. And pretty soon it was like, my kids were out there and a couple other people, and oh well, I'm going to preach for them. And I got up to preach and I hear behind me, and it was the vacuum cleaner. It was my youngest daughter. She was vacuuming the stage behind me. And I said, I'm trying to preach here. She goes, oh, sorry, Dad. She went back and sat down. I don't know why we get these dreams. A couple of weeks ago, you know, when I was trying to think, what do you preach on? You know, and you only have a couple Sundays a year or whatever. What do you preach on? And a couple of weeks ago, I met with a Christian brother at there's a new coffee house in Walla Walla. It's a Christian coffee house. They got Christian music playing. And while you're sitting there, you'll see kids from youth groups sitting and pull their Bibles out, and they'll be doing Bible studies. And they're a pretty cool place. And for the life of me, I can't tell you where it is, but I just found it, and I'll let you guys know about it. The guy that runs it's a youth pastor, and so it's kind of a neat place. But anyway, we're in this coffee house, and a good friend that he is, my friend asked me, is there anything I can pray for you today? And I was so glad he asked, because later that day, I was going to go talk to someone who had made decisions in their lives that they regretted. In fact, they were to the place where they were, I don't know if I want to live anymore. And God gave me the opportunity to go talk to him. And what do you say, right? What do you say? So I've been in prayer and wondering what to say. And so I asked my friend, I said, yeah, can you pray for me? Because I'm going to go. And I told him the circumstance. And he said, I just tell them the chains of my past don't hold me today. Jesus gives me a new day today. Amen. Boy, what good advice, huh? And so the message today is broken chains. Broken chains. So I didn't have very good chains. These are car chains. But broken chains. I did break them so that I could bring them today. What chains bind you? Isn't that a good question? What chains bind us in life? You know, the Bible is full of people who are chained. It really is. Joseph. Remember, he was thrown into a pit by his brothers and then sold into slavery. He was in chains then he worked his way up, got out of chains, and then was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit. Thrown back into jail. Guess what? Back in chains. We have Peter. Peter was thrown in jail, put in chains. Paul was chained. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, so many people in the Bible put in chains. But, you know, we have chains too, don't we? You know, not all, you know, make sounds like this, but, you know, when we came through the doors here, how many of us brought chains? We did, didn't we? One of the good reasons to come to church, because, I don't know about you, I'm like a magnet. Walking through life, ching! Chains get us. Albert Holtz related a story that I read on the internet. And when he was wandering the streets of Toledo, Spain, he came across a church, the Church of San Juan de los Mayas. And as he looked at the building, he could see something hanging all over the wall, the building, you know, way up high. And what's that hanging up there? Why is there things hanging up there? And so he asked the person that was, you know, take care of the church there. I think it was a monk. And he was told that for 360 years, Muslim captors had ruled that city. And during that time, anyone who was a Christian was made a slave. And they chained them up. In 1492, the city was liberated by the Spaniards, and their chains were taken off. They were set free. And the chains were hung on the wall of that church to remind them that they had been set free. Boy, if we took all the chains that were broken in this church and hung them on the wall, there wouldn't be any room, would there? Especially because there's knuckleheads like me who keep bringing new chains that need to be freed from. What chains have you brought to through these doors today? Guilt? Because I'm going to guess nobody here has lived flawlessly. And if only people knew what I've done, how I've messed up. And, you know, I struggle with things. Lust, pride, greed, lying, gossip, gluttony, debt, gambling. We can have that list go on and on, can't we? The things that we have struggled with. I have hurt people. How many have hurt people? Yeah. Chains coming on to us. Anger. Bitterness. I've talked to people who are dealing with bitterness. I've dealt with bitterness. So that puts me in a good place to talk with people who have dealt with it, doesn't it? And they say, but you don't know what they did to me. They deserve my bitterness. I said, no. Maybe I don't know. If they didn't hurt you, you wouldn't have to forgive, for one thing. But bitterness is just a poison you drank to hurt the other person, isn't it? Chains on you. Feelings of being unworthy. There's three things I want to talk about chains today. And the reason I'm going to talk about three things is that's how a sermon works. You have to have three things. You know, if I had four, you guys would go, what's going on? You know, my poor kids. When they got in trouble, you know, most people say, you shouldn't do that. And I would go to my kids and go, there are three reasons why you shouldn't do that. But three things I want to talk about chains. First thing is the most important. Jesus breaks chains. First thing, most important. Jesus breaks things, chains. John chapter, I'm going to read three verses. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36 says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? And they were saying, you know, we haven't been enslaved. Why are you saying that? He's talking about a different chains, isn't he? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus is saying, I've come, for those who believe in me will be set free. Chains will be broken. Romans 8 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteousness requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. And Hebrews 9:15, just one verse says, for this reason Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. What this is saying? It's saying you messed up. And under the law, you are held liable. You need to pay for your sins. That was the old covenant. The new agreement was, Jesus said, you know what, I don't want to see you die. I don't want to see these chains hold you. I'm going to take those chains. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to pay that punishment for you. Be free. What a good deal. Isn't it? And I know people say, well, that's too good of a deal. It can't be true. That he would break my chains. He would take my chains. He would die for me. And he would set me free. I want to ask you something. Think about Jesus on the cross. The lashes on his back. The nails on his hands and his feet. The spear in his side. What have you done that couldn't pay for? Is there anything? It covers it. You're free. You know, we practice baptism here. And we fill up a water tank. We fill up a tank of water. And someone goes in there and someone asks someone, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you take him as your Lord and Savior? And if they say yes, we get them all wet. No, that's not what we do. We bury them with Christ. Because Christ died for our sins, didn't he? And when we let them die with Christ right there. And then we don't leave them there, do we? We raise them back up. Because Jesus rose from the grave too. And they rise with Christ. And guess where all the chains are? I think they're down in here somewhere. Yeah. Chains get washed right off with Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, I don't have to do that to be saved. What a stupid question. Just, don't you want to die with Christ? Don't you want to have everything washed away? Released from your sins, chains broken, and to walk in the newness of life? That's what it's all about. And that's why we do it. Because it teaches us about breaking the chains that bind us. We accept the gift of Jesus Christ. We believe it like a child. I'm free. I don't have to pay that price for those sins anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that good news? And there's no chain he can't break. Point two. We need to put our chains down daily. Don't we have a way of picking these up through life? Oh. I missed you. Okay. Sometimes we just pick up our old chains, don't we? And sometimes it's just hard to forgive and forget when it comes to ourselves. We know that Jesus died for us, but you know, it's easier for me to accept that he did that for Chris or for Rebecca than he did it for me. But he did. And so I need to remember daily what Jesus did for me. I need to stop every day and focus and say, Jesus, well, why am I carrying this? I know I messed up, but you died for that. Jeez. Maybe every morning. To get up and say, Lord, I need to give my chains to you. Because we just have that way of picking chains up. And did you know, I'm going to tell you the secret. Once you become a Christian, don't tell anyone this. You might mess up again. Okay. Like people say, oh, I don't like Christians because they're hypocrites. I see a mess up. Well, duh. Yeah, we mess up again. You know, and sometimes we do a terrific belly flop. You know, sometimes it's really obvious we messed up again. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love us, does it? That's why we take communion. It seems like kind of a ritual. You know. I had a niece who was brought to church, and her home church, they didn't have communion every Sunday, so she was visiting another church, and they were having communion. And you know how solemn it is. And the organ was playing, the piano, and it was beautiful. And it was just kind of quiet through the whole church. And she stood up and looked around and goes, "Seems like everyone around here gets a snack except for us children." So, you know, if you don't understand what's going on, it kind of can seem like that, can't it? But what are we doing? We're remembering. We need to remember. We need to stop. Because through the week, guess what we've picked up? Chains. Isn't it good at least once a week to stop and say, "Jesus, you shed your blood. You hung on a cross. Because you loved me and you wanted to free me from these chains. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus." Because we need to keep putting those chains down, don't we? Because we keep picking them up. Third thing I want to say about chains is the world can hold us responsible for our mistakes. And the world does, doesn't it? But God adopts us with everything. He takes us as we are and uses us as we are. There are so many of us here that have messed up big in many, many things. In fact, I might say all of us. There may be some people here so far in debt, there is no way out. There might be some people who've been in prison. Or there might be someone listening to this that are in prison right now. They've messed up big. And they've gone to jail. You know, I shouldn't be up here. Because I've messed up. 12 years ago, my wife left me. I failed the most important job that God had given me in taking care of my own family. I remember going to the doctor a few weeks later. And you have to fill out those forms before you go in to see the doctor, you know, and you check things of your past life. And first thing is marital status. And I checked divorce. I wanted to crawl under the seat. I wanted to crawl out the door. Because I felt like I had shamed God. Been there? And you know what God was thinking? Come here, Ken. Wendy, let me hold you up. We're going to get through this together. Because you're still my child. And that blood that I shed for you, the body that was hung on the cross, it was for you. Put those chains down, Ken. Don't be ashamed. Because I'm taking you just like you are. Mistakes made. Things that have happened to you, I don't care. I'm taking you. You're my child. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh, and he didn't tell what it was. Just a thorn in his flesh. Something was wrong with Paul. And I'm glad he didn't tell us what the thorn in his flesh was, but he talks about that thorn in the flesh. And he says he prayed three times for God to take that thorn away, take that thorn from his flesh. And God didn't do it. Why? You know what I'm going to guess what that thorn was? I'm going to guess what that thorn was. Did you know what Paul did? Paul, before he changed his name to Paul, his name was Saul. And he killed Christians. He persecuted them. When they would take Christians out, put them in a circle, and they would pick up stones, and he would gather everyone's coats and hold them so that people could throw stones down upon those Christians and kill them. In fact, usually, do you know how they usually stoned someone back then? It wasn't just in a circle. Usually they'd take them to the edge of the city, and they would stone them off the edge of the city. And do you know why they would take them to the edge of the city? Because the city was built up on cliffs, because that's where it was safe. And so they'd cast them out of the city. So they would take them to the edge of the city, to the edge of the cliff, off the cliff. And then the person with the most highest standing in the group would take the first stone, and he would pick up a stone like this. And he would go to the edge of that. And they would throw it down. Probably a death blow. When there was stonings, guess who had the highest standing? Saul. And now he was a Christian. Do you think that could have been the thorn in his flesh? Guilt? And yet God said to Paul, "You're my child." In fact, listen to what Paul says. He says, "But he said to me," who's he? God. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." He's saying, you know what? Those of us who've blown it big time, God's grace is enough for them. In fact, God is going to use that weakness, the way that we blew it big time, to show his strength. Wow. That's not just breaking the chains. It's throwing them on the wall and watching them stick like spaghetti. You know? Breaking the chains. You know, okay, I mentioned financial debt. I'm so in debt that there is no way I'm getting out of this. How many felt that? How many are living it? You know? Well, it's time to let the Lord give you a hand. Maybe a financial peace class. Time to start working on it. Praying about it. Watching God work with you in it. Because you know what? God needs some people who've been through this. Because I think half this nation is right where you are. Don't you? I went to divorce care class. All the teachers were Christian authors, counselors, speakers who had gone through divorce themselves. And they used what they had learned to help me. And then later, I became a leader in that group. I knew the shame. I knew the bitterness. I knew the loss. I knew the challenges of being a single parent. I knew what they were going through. And God equipped me. He used it as a strength to help these people. And the one thing is, I could say God still loves you and is still going to use you, even what you've been through. For instance, bitterness. How many of you dealt with bitterness? Boy, every day, God, help me not to be a bitter person. This is what bitterness is. Isn't it? This is bitterness. God, I need you to help me with bitterness. I've worked through it. I've learned that I don't forgive people because they deserve it. I forgive people because I need to. God asked me to. And so my prayer started to be, God, I am so bitter. I don't want to forgive this person. They are rotten. Do you want me to tell you all the things they've did to me? Have you been there? But Lord, you have told me to forgive them. And even though I don't feel like it, Lord, I forgive them. Now, Lord, you're going to have to help me with the feeling. Day after day, day after day. And he did. He brought the feeling. If you have come to him with addictions, anger, physical handicaps, mental struggles, God wants you with all that stuff. He adopts you with all that stuff. Isn't that great? He takes it away. Takes things away from you. He breaks chains. I started a church years and years ago. It never got very big. On a good Sunday, we'd run 80 people. And it was a really different church. You know, you can walk into some churches and you can look around and go, wow, these people have got things together. You couldn't do that at that church. Because we drew in every broken person in the town. In fact, one of my friends in the church, he was looking around and he says, do you know what we are? And I go, what's that? He says, have you ever watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? The movie, you know, before Christmas? I said, yeah. He says, remember the Island of Misfit Toys? That's us. Island of Misfit Toys. And it is, isn't it? We're the Island of Misfit Toys that God has took up, says, okay, let's start breaking these chains. And I'm going to use you in mighty ways. Do you know what I think? I think it's chain-breaking time. I think it's chain-breaking time in my life, every day. I think it's chain-breaking time in your life. What chains have you brought in today? Can the cross cover it? Can Jesus hanging on the cross cover your mistakes? I think so. I know so. Let's have a word of prayer. Worship team, come on up. Lord, we've come today bearing chains, anger, guilt, feelings of unworthiness. Lord, I bet you there's 10 people out here right now that the devil told them, you can't come to church today. Look what you've done. But here they are. Lord, break the chains. Lord, we're going to put our faith in you that you are enough and that you've taken us just like we are. For those of us who've had faith and have messed up this week, thank you for forgiving us again. Help us to do better this week, to walk with those chains broken from us. Lord, today we're just going to trust in you that we're free. In Jesus' name, amen.